It's September 11th, 2005. This is Derek Slater in Washington, D.C. at the Future of Music Coalition Policy Summit. Don't feel much like blogging today, but since podcasting is going to be a topic of conversation at the conference, figured I'd get on the hype train and do some podcasting myself. For those keeping score at home, let me give you the quick rundown. Today we had one long tail reference, two compulsory licensing discussions, one Pitchfork Media reference, one Google is the devil reference, but zero copyright communist references. However, during the Google is the devil comment from the audience, we did get a comment about the open source lovey-dovey community. I particularly appreciated that comment. There were a couple particularly intriguing points I want to share with you from today, a couple takeaways. One I've found really interesting in the first couple panels, discussions about the many different strata that make up the music industry, or rather many different strata of artists below the major superstar musicians, and how those artists are taking advantage of the many different distribution promotion channels, and particularly how those artists, many of them will simply have smaller audiences, but we can also consider their audiences niche. And in marketing to niche audiences, one thing that was brought up several times was the importance of community and connecting with fans, both to develop a following and also to connect fans with fans to sustain that following, such that the artist can depend on it to propel their careers. It was also a key point was that for many artists, a few thousand dollars, selling a few thousand copies of an album can be quite meaningful. John Buckman from Magnitude, the online record label, was here and talked about, you know, artists who only makes a few thousand dollars from the site, that can be a big part of their bottom line for some of these niche artists. So that's first intriguing part of the day for me. Another important part was discussions about radio, broadcast radio policy. And I'm often kind of dismissive of talking about radio because I always want to jump to talking about how we're going to supersede radio and we don't need it as a tastemaker as much and we're going to need it even less in the future. But for the moment, broadcast radio is important in music marketing and music discovery. It plays a central role, and thus, radio policy is quite important. And we had a discussion about spectrum policy, moving past kind of media consolidation and indecency discussions, getting to, well, shouldn't we be opening up the spectrum to really break the stranglehold of the consolidated radio industry? And FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein was here and said, you know, one of the greatest things the FCC has done has been opening up spectrum to unlicensed use, and he would, you know, like to do more of it to create a commons in the spectrum. However, as was pointed out by Mike Godwin from Public Knowledge and Johanna Shelton from the House Energy and Commerce Committee, right now, spectrum policy is a major budget issue, and for that reason is a major partisan issue. When the Congressional Budget Office looks at opening up spectrum, they look at it as a bad thing because that's less spectrum that can be auctioned off. And the spectrum, for instance, that is going to be opened up by the shift from analog to digital television is potentially worth $10 billion, the Congressional Budget Office estimates. So, you know, in that way, this is all getting funneled into a budget fight, and it's going to be a tough road to hoe to open up more spectrum. Finally, Jessica Littman was in the audience today and asked a good question to Fred Cannon from BMI. She asked what BMI thought of Mary Beth Peters' proposed revisions to Section 115, which would put the PROs in charge of licensing all of the rights in the composition right. And Fred Cannon's response was that while BMI would do it and would do a very good job at it if the law put them in that place, BMI is focused on the performing right. They think Harry Fox can do a fine job with a mechanical right. They should be doing that job. And that's not really something that BMI is intending to get involved in, though if put in that place, they could do the job ably. So that was Fred's non-response. Beyond that, there was some typical banter about peer-to-peer, and I definitely appreciate we had Rebecca Greenberg from the Recording Artists Coalition talking about how they're totally into having artists who want to use peer-to-peer to distribute their works, they can do it. It's fine for them. They just want artists who don't want to distribute their works on peer-to-peer to have that right too. And they're totally fine with artists who feel differently. Of course, the Recording Artist Coalition before, Grokster, in their press release, said that it is unfortunate when artists are seduced into believing that unauthorized peer-to-peer systems benefit our society and artists' careers. Seduced was the word. I like that. So maybe the Recording Artist Coalition has changed their tune. If they have, I'm quite happy. I'd be quite glad by that. But I'm not quite sure that that's actually happened. So that was the story for today. I hope to catch up more either at conference end or if I get another chance sometime in the middle of the conference. But for now, this is Derek Slater signing off.